endless men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad that you've taken the time to listen to the message this morning. It has been quite a red letter month for our family so far. Trace and I celebrated 32 years of marriage last week, and then this week, as many of you know, our daughter delivered our third grandbaby. Poppy Ann Raymer was born on the 8th at about 8:53 a.m. She was 6 pounds and 10 ounces and 20 inches long. Taylor had called the evening before to tell Teresa that her water broke, and Teresa said she was just laughing about it, and Poppy was her first baby. I mean, this was just another of the many brand new experiences that Taylor was getting ready to go through. And then she said to Teresa, Mom, I think you better come on. So we gathered up Teresa and Chrissy's things and headed toward Taylor and Christopher's house, and they're about 2.5 hours away from us, which, side note here, is another great example as to why ecclesia is a must. But we got there about midnight, and I checked in on Taylor for just a minute and told her how much I loved her and how proud I was of her for what she was going through. And then Jerry and I got back in the car, and we drove back home. And of course, when I got home, my eyes were just burning. I mean, I don't do no sleep very well. And all I could do was just think about my baby girl. And yeah, I know she's almost 22, which is just mind blowing, but she's still just a baby to me. And now she was going through the hardest thing she's ever gone through in her life and doing it at home with a midwife, with her mother and her sister by her side, which I believe is exactly the way God intended it to be. But anyway, my eyes were just burning, but I couldn't get to sleep. I just laid there, looked at the ceiling. And then I guess at some point I did doze off, and my phone woke me up about 8 o'clock in the morning, and I saw that I had missed a text from Teresa at 7:46 saying that Taylor was beginning to have the urge to push, and I wanted to call, but you know, knowing from my own past experiences 5 times, the time for phone calls was over. So I just had to sit there and wait until the baby was finally born. And then Teresa would call and let me know. So just a minute or so after 8:53, Teresa called, and I could hear little Poppy crying in the background. And I knew that truly joy cometh in the morning. So I hurried into the shower and got ready, and I was back on the road by 9:30 and up to see Taylor and baby Poppy. And I got there at about noon and was holding our new little grandbaby in just a few minutes. I mean, just how awesome. Just truly, truly a great experience. Just amazing how it was almost like holding one of Teresa and I's own children, just reliving that experience from many years ago. But that bond in that instance is just indescribable. Well, Taylor's doing great. The baby's doing great. Christopher's doing great. Teresa and Chrissy are doing great. And I'll tell you, though, that once again, I mean, home birth reigns superior. The reason that Taylor had such a hard and long labor, besides Poppy being her first, is that Poppy decided to come out posterior, and that's with her back facing outward. And Taylor had done a little research and found out that only about 8% of all births, the baby is posterior. Well, a doctor just would not have put up with that, and they would have more than likely would have drugged Taylor and the baby up and scared her into submitting to a C-section. But you know what? Since our family won't render unto Caesar, Taylor wasn't cut on, and the baby still made it alive and well. Imagine that. And everything is just great. You know, I told Taylor when she told me about those percentages and overcoming them that, yeah, that's what we do. We overcome, you know, just like Christ told us to do. So needless to say, our family is flying pretty high right now, and we thank you for all your prayers and for the kind emails that have come in. I passed them on to Taylor and Christopher, and I know that they appreciate them also. Kingdom Conference Fall Edition is just around the corner now, and we've had a few more signups this week. Ted is coming and will be preaching 3 messages. Matthew is preaching. I'll be preaching. Paul is preaching. Jerry will be preaching. That'll be very interesting to hear a kingdom perspective from a young man. We're going to have special things for the women. We always just have such a great time at the conferences. And if you can make it, I just can't urge you enough to make plans to come. And it's what the world calls October 28th through the 31st. Maranatha Bible Camp and Event Center just outside of Springfield, Missouri. The facilities are fantastic. It's not expensive. And again, don't you dare let money get in the way of you coming or not. If you can just get here, and then if you need help with the room, you just let us know. God will provide for his people. He wants us to gather. It's not ecclesia, but it's better than nothing. And God wants his people to come together, and he'll make a way. You just need to let us know. Great emails have just continued to come in from this latest series of messages. People are telling me that holes in their faith, their system of belief, are getting filled. Answers to things that they've often wondered about are coming to them. And that's great. I'm just so happy to hear things like that. In addition to that, there's been a couple things that I've wanted to mention, but I just have not had the time to say them. I want you to be very careful when the ungodly, quote, pass legislation, and it seems to be throwing bones at righteousness. Okay, first off, they are incapable of doing such things. They're all citizens of a city that lie and love to make lies. When men put themselves in positions of making, quote, laws, they put themselves in a situation of impossibility. They cannot please God. Nothing that they can do will please God. Nothing that they can or will do will please God. They're outside of the will of God, and being outside of the will of God puts them in a state of rebellion, and that's where they are. And as a result, just like we read last week from the book of James, they are double-minded, and as such, they are unstable in all their ways, like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Now, that's what the book says. Okay, so add that to our faith, our system of belief, then trust it. That's what our job is. Our job is to obey the faith, the system of belief, once delivered to the saints. And I'll assure you that the book of James was delivered to the saints. 2 or 3 years ago, who knows, time just flies by so fast. But there was a baker in Colorado that refused to make a cake for a couple of freaks, queers, perverts, for their rebellion celebration. And at that time, nearly the whole U.S. was up in arms, divided, of course. And, well, actually, division is actually a good thing. But even in the godless, or I really should say the Yahwehless society, because they've got a God, absolutely. In fact, they've got many gods. It's just that Yahweh isn't one of them. But their society was divided, some in support of the baker, whose government corporation refused to abide by the established public policy, and some against the baker because, now listen, he was refusing service to citizens of the state of Colorado. When all this was going on, I told Teresa, I said, this is going to be a no-brainer. He's going to lose in the court system because he's a Colorado corporation. And as such, he has to obey the laws of his creator. And the state, and in the state courts, he did lose. Well, then he appealed to higher courts. And I asked Teresa if she knew the outcome, and she said she thought that he lost in the Supreme Court. Well, neither of us could remember because, you know, as we're so well aware of now, they've moved on to their next crisis. And of course, billions and trillions of people dying from something that doesn't even exist has been at the forefront of everything now for, you know, almost 2 years. So I went and looked it up. And guess what? The U.S., quote, Supreme Court ended up siding with the Colorado baker. And he didn't have to suffer the penalties for refusing to make the cake for the queers. Wow! Hallelujah! Isn't that great? Now, remember now, nothing good comes from those people. And remember that one of their presidents, quote-unquote, said, quote, in politics, nothing happens by chance, end quote. Okay, these people either know exactly what they're doing and are acting upon a script of some kind, or their insanity just continues on a path that yields one major blunder after another. While the, quote, church world was no doubt celebrating their tremendous victory in their, quote, Supreme Court, probably because of all the great churchian judges that godly Trump appointed. You know, I got to thinking about the supposed victory in light of the bigger picture. And brethren, this is not good at all. Their, quote, Supreme Court decided that corporations could, in fact, quote, discriminate and refuse service to, quote, citizens. All right, now, bring this down to where it is today. Maniac Biden, acting directly according to the plan, it was not hard at all to see this coming, is moving Earth to force their diabolically devilish jab on everyone. And somehow he thinks that he can force all businesses in the U.S. that have more than 100 employees to mandate Donald Trump's gene-altering vaccine. Well, when this, quote, goes to court, hey, it's already been decided. U.S. corporations have the, quote, right to refuse service, and they will have the, quote, right to refuse employment to anyone who has not taken the jab. That's what this whole Colorado Baker queer debate was all about. Now, the, quote, U.S. Supreme Court has already decided that it's okay to refuse service to people that they don't agree with. This Colorado Baker scenario was just a big setup. They drew the naive church people into making it look like the church people were getting a victory given to them by their, quote, Supreme Court, when in reality, this was just a part in a greater scheme of evil. They were establishing that businesses, U.S. corporations, creatures of the state, could in fact discriminate against people. And what this means for today is businesses will be able to deny services and goods to people if they have not taken the mRNA gene-altering Trump drugs. Now, it's okay to look at their politics. I'm not saying we should just put our heads in a hole in the ground and not pay any attention to what the maniacs are doing. Okay, we're not in ecclesia. We don't have our own nation like God so clearly told us to have, and what they do absolutely affects us right now. So yeah, we should pay attention, but do not expect them to do anything that improves our condition. Men's little g governments are in place to prevent the kingdom of God from coming into view. They are there to continue to promote their wicked agenda of enslavement and making sure people do not even see that they have a choice to choose a completely different government. The kingdom of God, where Christ is the king, Yahweh is the lawmaker. Okay, they are not there to help, they are there to hinder, period. These people are all liars. Those that are outside the city of God love to lie and they love to make lies. I read an article just this morning, in fact, that just 1 month ago, maybe just barely more than a month ago, sometime in what they call July, Biden told his U.S. citizens, "It's not the role of the federal government to mandate vaccines." Then just 1 week later after that, Rochelle Walensky of the CDC said, "There will be no nationwide mandate." Then not even a month and a half later, Biden gets up there and demands mandates for the rest of the supposed unvaxxed people in the U.S. These people are total, maniacal, lying. I don't know, are they even real people? I mean, are their consciences so seared that they aren't even real people any longer? I mean, it's just crazy. They turn evil into good and good into evil. That's what they do. So don't fall for it. Don't fall for anything they do in thinking that we will benefit in any way. I tried to tell people, even people who believe similar to we do, that fell for Trump. I kept telling them, this man is a phony. Don't follow people that are outside of the city of God. They are not good people. They are not leaders. They are not people that God's people are supposed to follow. And yet here we've got the Biden administration saying, well, we just don't understand why all these people are refusing the vaccine. The vaccine came from Trump. He's the one who did the vaccine. Why are all these people still refusing the Trump vaccine? Okay, none of those people are people that God's people should be listening to, ever. Okay, keep your eyes squarely focused on the biblical goal, and that is ecclesia. That is the nation called the Commonwealth of Israel. That is where our exclusive citizenship is supposed to be. We're not to be citizens of the world. Friends, it can't be clearer. Whosoever is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. If friendship with the world, if friendship with the world is enmity with God, what do you think full-blown citizenship is? Friends, you know, friends don't typically have agreements between each other with oaths and affirmations and paperwork and taxes and license and all sorts of official-looking papers. If friendship with the world is enmity with God, what do we think all this other stuff is? We have fooled ourselves for way too long. We've got a major problem, and we better take steps to correct it. And again, this is not God's fault. This is our fault. We have chosen, quote, kings like all the other nations. We have done exactly the same thing that the Israelites did in 1 Samuel chapter 8. And somehow, even though the things were plainly written for us to see what not to do, we went and did the exact same thing. And friends, if you think about it, it's totally mind-blowing. We're doing exactly what God said not to do. Now remember, again, the Israelites did not know. Okay, now they were told exactly what would happen, but ultimately it had already been decided for them. It was done to show us. It was written to show us. Thousands of years later, and friends, we've got to come to this understanding that those people did not have a choice. What went on, what was recorded in the Bible, except for a tiny little bit, which we're eventually going to get to, just a glimpse of whosoever will is all we're going to get from the scriptures. but the things that were recorded in the Bible were in the lives of people who had no choice. The book shows us the good things that happen when the proper choices are made, and it shows us the bad things that happen when the wrong choices are made. And it was all written for us, written for our learning, for our admonition. Please, P-L-E-A-S, please to us to not make the wrong choices. Now, before we get to Michael's minutes, which I sure hope that all of you read this week, I want us to go to Isaiah chapter 30. Again, this was written not for the Israelites thousands of years ago. I'm going to prove this to you here in just a minute. They didn't have a choice, but it was written for us, for every single generation from the end of the last one, which was also in the first century. It was actually the beginning of the first one, and for every subsequent generation afterwards, and for every generation that will continue forever, world without end, age without end. The age of the ecclesia will never end. That's what the book says. All right, so please turn with me this morning to Isaiah chapter 30. During a time in which the people did not have any choices. Now, they thought they did. And that's what makes this all so interesting. They thought they had choices, but ultimately, they did not. It was written so that we would learn. We could learn at the things that God wanted the people to do. Then we would see their mistakes, and hopefully, in the new covenant world, we wouldn't make the same mistakes they did. In this new world, I simply do not believe that God is still moving things like puppets on strings. He wants his creation to obey him out of their own free choice. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may drink from the river of life. Isaiah chapter 30 shows us exactly what the will of God is. It shows us exactly what happens when men are in control, and it shows us exactly what happens when men step aside and let God be in control by their obedience. Verse 1, and this will probably be it for today's message. Verse 1, Isaiah chapter 30, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith Yahweh, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt." Oh, my friends, the U.S. has been modern-day Egypt since its inception. And it's getting more and more like Egypt, and like Sodom and Gomorrah, and like Rome, more and more and more. And we are right in the middle of Isaiah 30, verse 2, the principles shown here. We are right there. Whose laws do we follow? Who are the ones who determine good and evil? Egypt is the prototypical example of men's little g governments. God's people were stuck there for a while, just like our generation and the generation before us and the generation before that one. I mean, how long were the children of Israel in Egypt? Well, over 400 years. In their day, they didn't have a choice but to stay there until Yahweh appointed Moses to come on the scene and lead them out. Okay, our example is that we can come out. Every generation that finds itself in a situation like the children of Israel in Egypt, every generation can come out. They can just get up and leave because our Moses has already come. Every generation since Christ has had their Moses come. After Christ, there will never be another Moses. He was the final Moses. The Savior came. The shepherd came. The flock left Egypt. We do not need to sit around here and wait for another Moses. There will never be another Moses. Christ came and he is not coming again. We can leave Egypt whenever we choose to leave Egypt. It's our choice. Whosoever will may come. Look what the U.S. has done. The U.S. has become savior, provider, protector, and now it's even looking out for the best interests of your health. The U.S. has become the strength of Egypt, the strength of Pharaoh, and the people are trusting in the shadow of Egypt. That's where we are. But that's not where we're supposed to be. We've got to stop drinking the poisoned water of Egypt and drink from the living water of Christ. And it's available right now to every single generation since Christ came in the first one. Isaiah 30 verse 3, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. This is exactly where we are today. I've never seen it revealed as strongly now as I have seen it in the past 2 years. Yeah, of course, I get it. I mean, because of my perspective, because I've never been a part of their world, I mean, I've seen the craziness for my entire adult life. But right now, it's crazy on steroids. I mean, these people have completely lost their minds. From the top to the bottom, they are all total nut jobs. You know, I admit it now. I like to watch the game of football. Okay, now stay with me for just a second. Don't throw me away because I like to watch a stupid game from time to time. I couldn't care less about a single player in their game. Okay, I'm not a, quote, fan. Okay, I just like to watch the game. But are you aware that these idiots, yes, from the top to the bottom, idiots, not a single one of them, not a one of them have died from COVID. Same for the NBA, same for the PGA, same for the NHL, Major League Baseball, not a single one of them have died from COVID. But they force these guys into living the absolute craziest lives imaginable. Think about it. These guys were easy pickings to force them into these crazy things. They get paid millions of dollars to play a stupid game. So yeah, they're going to submit to whatever the maniacs want them to submit to. So that they can keep playing their games for a few more years and make millions and millions in doing so. But in the NFL, in football, when these players arrive at their practice facilities, they are required to attach some type of tracking device to their bodies so they can detect whether or not they've come in close contact with someone who has tested positive for the dreaded, deadly, you know, killing billions of people, COVID-19. Well, what this all is a test. They're testing all this out on NFL players so that they one day can expand this out to the rest of their society. It's absolutely unbelievable. And no doubt, they threaten these guys with fines or worse if they complain about it. Well, they say the NFL season is going to be dramatically altered this season because now they've got rules for the vaxxers and rules for the petulant non-vaxxers. And they will. I guarantee it. I'm not acting like a prophet here. They're just so transparent you can see what's going on. But they will be making examples out of the petulant non-vaxxers and some very high profile, I mean game-changing players are going to be forced out of big games, and it's going to be blamed on them not bowing to the jab. You just wait and see. Now, rest assured, whoever they want to miss a game because of close contact, they can very easily manipulate it. And if they don't do this for their COVID propaganda, well, the gamblers are going to manipulate that system for their own financial gain. It's a joke. It's a big, fat joke. I mean, they'll probably pull someone from a game right before game time, or they might even pull someone during a game, during the middle of the game. You wait and see. They've completely lost their minds. I'm not sure exactly why I went off on that for just a minute, but and in fact, I was going to wait a few more minutes before talking about Michael's minutes from this past week. But actually, I think this is a perfect time because Michael's minute filled in some holes for me also. We were talking about not trusting in the shadow of Egypt. And so I think that's why I went off on this thing, on this COVID garbage for just a minute. But anyway, one of the biggest holes that it filled in for me is I couldn't really figure out how they were able to manipulate so many doctors and nurses into buying into this total nonsense of people supposedly dying from the flu. And Michael's minutes filled this hole in for me. Just a couple of days after Michael sent in his minute, Sam sent me a link to a quote doctor who was bringing out the evidence that the drug called remdesivir, which is the drug that Fauci says doctors should be prescribing for treatment of COVID, is what is actually killing people who come into the hospital. Now, we need to understand that Fauci is not just some little talking head out there. He's the director of the National Institutes of Health. And apparently, what the doctors and the nurses and people in the medical profession in the U.S. do is they rely on the National Institutes of Health to tell them how to treat, quote, sicknesses and disease inside the U.S. So when Fauci says, okay, if someone tests positive for this, then this is the treatment that you put them under, all right? But the interesting thing is that what they're actually killing people with who come to the hospital is the treatment. It's not what they supposedly come to the hospital for, okay? It's not for people who have the flu. It's for people who they say, well, this person tested positive for COVID, so this is the prescribed treatment. Okay, this is exactly what Michael was saying. Going all the way back to the, quote, AIDS plandemic, it was when these people went to the hospitals and then took their drugs, that's what was killing them. It wasn't the supposed virus. It was the drugs that killed them. This remdesivir was a drug that they were prescribing in the Ebola pandemic in 2018, and they actually pulled it out of use because someone figured out that the drug itself was what was killing the people. It wasn't the supposed virus, it was the treatment. So in the COVID pandemic, people come to the hospital with the flu because someone told them, oh my, you've got COVID, you better get to the hospital. But the hospitals have already been told about this dread disease. And when these people come in with the flu, you put them on ventilators and prescribe remdesivir. And look what happens. People die. But they aren't dying from a virus. They're dying from the supposed treatment. The unsuspecting doctors and the nurses are actually killing people that they think they're helping. And all they are doing is what the National Institute of Health has told them that they're supposed to do. Now, think about this. First off, now I don't think every single doctor and every single nurse in the AMA is diabolical. Okay, they aren't waking up in the morning with pure evil on their minds. They're doing what they're told is the right thing to do, except their orders are coming from people who are pure evil. But some of them... Now, some of them, yes, are pure evil themselves, and they don't need someone like Fauci to guide their hands. Listen to this. This is just a few days ago. This is from an article, and I'll have the link on the website. Quote, an abortion clinic in Texas reportedly rushed to beat the clock on the state's new restrictions, performing 67 abortions with one doctor over the course of 17 hours. Let me read that to you again. An abortion clinic in Texas reportedly rushed to beat the clock on the state's new restrictions, performing 67 abortions with one doctor over the course of 17 hours. Now, do you think there are not some doctors and nurses out there that are pure evil? You better believe it. That article went on to say that Texas law took effect the following day, September 1st, effectively imposing a six-week limit on abortions. According to the 19th, Whole Woman's Health Fort Worth only had 8 people total between the techs and the front office staff and the doctor and 3 staff members from a nearby clinic they brought in to help. And they murdered 67 babies in 17 hours. Yeah, you think some doctors and nurses out there aren't pure evil? You better believe it. You know, we don't know what these people believe. We don't know if some of those people subscribe to the Georgia Guidestones or not. We don't know if these people believe that the insane concept of overpopulation is real and they need to do their part in reducing it. We better be real careful when we go to these people for help. If you break your arm, okay, go get it fixed. But for other things, you better be careful. You better exhaust every known resource that you have for alternatives other than hospitals before you go to them for something. And this brings me to something else we need to think about. This Texas, quote, abortion law. Oh, it's so great. Look at what Texas did to protect the babies. Oh, that governor must be a Christian. Well, that Texas law, quote unquote, set up a reporting website that gives $10,000 to any, quote, citizen that reports someone for violating that Texas, quote, law. Oh, and you think that's a good thing? Okay, that, quote, law also made it to the U.S. Supreme Court. And wouldn't you know it, the U.S., quote, Supreme Court sided with the pro-lifers. How great. Thank the Lord. Christians are on the, quote, Supreme Court. Really? Okay, all they did was say that states can set up systems whereby people can be paid for turning in people who haven't taken the jab, or people who didn't vote, or people who refuse to participate in other little g government scams, or what have you. Nothing good comes from these people. Do not be fooled. Do not trust in the shadow of Egypt. They are all liars. They love to make lies. They're double-minded. They're not of God. Don't be fooled. Keep your eyes only on Christ. Keep your hearts and minds turned only to the Great Shepherd. And do not be led astray by listening to the voices of the wolves in sheep's clothing. This is who they are, all of them, every single one of them. And there's not a speck of difference between any of them. All right, if you have not read Michael's latest minute, you really need to do that as soon as you can. It's excellent. Not to fail to mention that it's valuable information that has come from one of our own. It didn't come from the godless. It came from one of our own. Someone who believes in the present day reality of King and Kingdom right now. Go read it. It's excellent. All right, back to Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 4. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be of an help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beasts of the south, into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses and their treasures upon bunches of camels to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. The Egyptians will not help us. The U.S. will not help us. These things were written exactly to us in our generation for this present moment. For this exact moment in time, Isaiah 30 was written for us to show us the way that we're supposed to live. Now look at verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Did you see that? Did you see what Isaiah 30 verse 8 just said? Wow, that just made every single hair on my body stand straight up. What was written, what God told Isaiah to write, was written for the time to come. That's the end of the new covenant world and the new covenant world, the new covenant age without end, forever and ever. That is not one of the forevers that ended with the old world. Okay, that is specifically referring to the new world, the world that lasts forever and ever. We are to learn from these things. This is the mind of God. This is the will of God. This is what we are supposed to be doing. Verse 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of Yahweh. Has this been our generation? You know, even for most of us who are just now beginning to see the egregious error of our ways, for our total existence, we've just accepted the, quote, laws of men, the, quote, law of the land. We've accepted men's laws in our lives, and we've actually become children who will not hear the law of Yahweh. We need to face this. We obey men's laws, and we do not obey Yahweh's. This is because we have become naturalized citizens of Egypt. Now listen to me. This is going to be painful, but I've got to say it. You know, but we are obeying God's laws. We keep the feasts. We keep the Sabbaths. We keep the baptisms. We keep the ceremonial law of God. Okay, this is not what's meant by hearing and keeping the law of Yahweh. Egypt doesn't care about whether or not someone keeps the ceremonial laws of God. The U.S. doesn't care one bit about whether or not someone keeps an old covenant feast. No one gets persecuted in the U.S. for keeping a feast. This is not what God is talking about. The first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Gods means rulers, judges, magistrates. In our generation, we who call ourselves Christians, we have obliterated the first commandment. We think we're keeping the laws of God's the laws of God because we think we're keeping Sabbaths, we're keeping feasts, we're keeping baptisms. All the while, we've got documents in our pockets, flags on our vehicles, saying that we're trusting in the shadow of Egypt. We're looking at the U.S. for protection, for provision, for health. This is not what Isaiah is talking about. Who do we pay taxes to in the U.S.? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now again, brethren, I'm not trying to beat us down. I'm not trying to destroy our spirit, what little spirit that we actually have. I'm just trying to keep it in our minds that the whole book, it's all about being citizens of the Commonwealth of Israel. Exclusive citizens, not dual citizenship, not Egyptian and Christ, not the U.S. and Christ. It's exclusive citizens of the kingdom of God. God is a jealous God. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yahweh thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And again, this is not sticking your fist in the face of God and saying, I hate you. Hating just simply means we're not obeying. That's what it's talking about here. For thou shalt worship no other God, for Yahweh, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. For Yahweh thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. Obey their laws. For I, Yahweh thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. For Yahweh thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of Yahweh thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. They have provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoke they him to anger. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve Yahweh, For he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. And he said, I have been very jealous of Yahweh, the God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And he said, I have been very jealous for Yahweh, God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even only I, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Repeated two times in less than four verses to emphasize the importance. And he put forth the form of a hand and took me by a lock of mine head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and they brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy which provoketh to jealousy. Therefore thus saith the Lord Yahweh, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Idumea, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and the valleys, thus saith the Lord Yahweh, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the heathen. We were never supposed to be citizens of Egypt. We were never supposed to be citizens of the U.S. We're supposed to be citizens of the Commonwealth of Israel. The book has been very, very clear about that. But sadly, we've listened to the wrong voices. We listened to preachers, extensions of men's little g governments. We actually fell for the deception that the great shepherd wanted us to listen to strange voices. That was never the case. We were never supposed to listen to any voice besides the voice of our shepherd. But we did, and now we're in a really bad place. And only our choice, our only choice, yes, and I said choice because that's exactly what it is to get ourselves up out of Egypt and become the nation that we're supposed to be. Isaiah 30, verse 10, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Oh my goodness, Charlie, stop telling us hard things. Stop telling us what we're supposed to hear. Quit telling us the right things. Just preach what's easy. Preach what's smooth. Don't rock the boat. No, I will not preach lies like the rest of them do. I'm going to preach the truth until the day my voice ceases to preach. Come out of Egypt. Come out of the U.S. Come out of Canada. Come out of the Philippines. Come out of Italy and come into the kingdom of God. Join yourselves with other believers and begin to allow Yahweh to once again build his ecclesia. And do it with all confidence, with all trust in our faith, our system of belief that was once delivered to the saints, that he will build his ecclesia and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Verse 11, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon. Therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. Now listen to me now. Remember verse 8. These things were written for us. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever. This was written for people who had a choice in the matter. We can choose Christ. We can choose the government of the Commonwealth of Israel. I'm telling you, get those documents that identify you as a citizen of the world. Get them out of your billfolds. Get them out of your purses. We've got to stop being rebellious children. We've got to stop living this lie, and we've got to start being the people of God. We are to be exclusive citizens of the Commonwealth of Israel. The book is about God's people, Israel. Verse 14, "And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." Now that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to see from this. But again, the sad part is, the rest of it says, "and ye would not." We have a choice. Hey, those people that this was written to did not have a choice. But we do. We do have a choice. We can choose to return. We can choose to return to the rest that's in Christ and be saved. We have that choice. We can choose to live in the quietness and confidence and get strength from our King and his kingdom. Let's not let it be said about our generation, "and ye would not." It doesn't have to be that way. We have a choice. Verse 16, "But ye said, No, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and as an ensign upon a hill. And therefore will Yahweh wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For Yahweh is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him." There you go again. He's sitting there waiting for his people to voluntarily return to him. When we return to him, he will be there waiting to have mercy upon us. This was all written for us. This is what will happen when we do what we're supposed to do. Do we believe this? Is he a God of his word? I believe that he is. "For the people shall dwell in Zion," this is verse 19, "at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee." For us in the new covenant world, what Jerusalem is this talking about? Well, it's talking about the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, the new covenant. That's all it can be talking about. The Jerusalem of the old covenant was destroyed along with the temple, not one stone left standing upon another. Verse 20, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, This is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left, ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver, and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, Get thee hence." For us, in our generation, this is talking about casting aside the ways of the world, citizenship with the world, the, quote, laws of the world. Say to it, "Get thee hence." Well, where else do we see "get thee hence"? When Christ was offered the kingdoms of the world, when he was offered the kingdoms of the world by, and I still think there could be a really strong argument that could be made that the devil, the Satan, with which Christ was having his conversation in Luke 4, was quite possibly Caesar himself. And Christ said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Just like all the maniacs running the little g governments in the world today, it's time for us to say to them, "Get thee hence. Get thee behind me, Satan." Biden trying to mandate Trump's DNA-altering gene therapy injection. Get thee behind me, Satan. For all those demanding that we turn away from the way God wants us to live, we haven't gotten there yet. And they're still doing everything they can to make sure we don't find the way. and walk there in it. Get thee hence. Get thee behind me, Satan. God told Isaiah to write that this way. This way to walk in was written for a later time and for the generations forever and ever. For anyone or anything that tries to move God's people from living the way he said to live, get thee hence. This is faith. This is the system of belief once delivered to the saints, because this is exactly how the saints lived in the first century. This is the way. When they were told, then shall, this is verse 23, then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. The oxen likewise, and the young asses that ear the ground shall eat clean provender, which hath been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day that Yahweh bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Behold, the name of Yahweh cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is a devouring fire. And his breath is an overflowing stream, shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. In our time, that's not Yahweh causing them to err. That is the cause of the error. It's because the people have not followed the way. The people in our world have a choice. They have a choice to follow the way. This is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. If the people do not heed the words and walk in the way, their own rebellion is the cause of the error. You shall have a song, as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of Yahweh, to the mighty one of Israel. And Yahweh shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lighting down of his arm, with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of Yahweh shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod, and in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which Yahweh shall lay upon him, it shall be with tabrets and harts, and in battles of shaking will he fight with it. For Tophet is ordained of old. There you have it. For the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of Yahweh, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. Promises for those who obey and heed the words of the Lord and walk in the way. And likewise curses for those who do not. The ifs and thens of the Bible are absolutely valid for today. While these people did not have a choice, the ifs and thens were still taught to them. But why? Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. We're in that time to come. The words were recorded by men who wrote what God wanted to be written. But as I've shown over and over and over, though these men did not know that their very steps, their very breaths, were all predestined before the foundation of the world, while they did not know what would become of them, the things were written by them and about them were written so that we, in the time to come, we could look back and say, that was the way. Turn not to the right or to the left. Walk in the way that Yahweh said to walk. It shouldn't be that difficult, but we live in a generation who chose, yes, they chose to walk after other gods. I've told you many times before, and I'm certainly not anything special. I'm no different than anyone else hearing these words today. But when I was 18 or 19 years old, and for the first time I read the U.S. Con, capital C-O-N, institution, and I read the words, this con, institution, and the laws and treaties and statutes made in pursuance thereof shall be the supreme law of the land. when I read that as a kid, it shocked me to my core. It shocked me so much that I realized that day I could never follow that document, and I could never follow the, quote, laws, statutes, treaties, etc., made in pursuance thereof. And I was stuck right in the middle of a bunch of churchmen, all of which I shared my horrors with, and most of them much older than me. And not a single one of them were moved by the horrors that struck me that day. I didn't understand it then, and I might even understand it even less today. I simply do not understand how men and women, boys and girls, who claim to be followers of Christ cannot find the absolute rebellion in that statement and not run as fast and as far away from that as they possibly can. Shall be the supreme law of the land. My goodness, are you kidding me? I don't care if the document quotes John 3:16 in it, which it certainly does not. But to have that statement as the capstone to that document just blows my mind that preachers, so-called or otherwise, cannot, will not see that that statement is a stick your fist in the face of God and state, we will not have this man to reign over us. Amazing. Well, there's an answer. It's a very simplistic answer, but I believe it's true. I believe these things are the result of failing to understand what it means to be fully immersed into Christ. A man that is fully immersed into Christ follows His voice and His voice alone. Christ said He came not to destroy His Father's laws, but to fulfill them. Christ was not interested in keeping man's laws. Every step of the way, whether He was dealing with the traditions of the Jews or whether He was asked about obeying Caesar, His answers were always telling men and women, boys and girls, they were to follow the voice of the shepherd, exclusive of all others.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com.